Been a little bit busy, guys. I haven't been able to film that ad yet, but don't forget, we've got a bunch of products at First Man. Here's a few of them. Supplements, body wash, testosterone-friendly body wash, supplements, testosterone booster, lifestyle supplement, natural diuretic, take water out of your face, make you look leaner and sexier. Male Advantage book, that's paperback, also got it in digital copies as well, audiobook and ebook. Check them all out, guys. And do not forget, we've got the streaming platform as well. The link will be below. It's 1m.video. That is where you will find real premium content, documentaries, everything. That's our men's streaming platform, only $1.99 a month. So don't forget to check that out, guys, and enjoy the video. Okay then, guys, welcome back to my favorite time of year, early autumn, when you know everything is ahead. All those working days, all those working hours, all that time spent on the business, progressing your life. I love that. I've been out of the gym for a few weeks as well, post-boxing. I needed a break. There's a lot of things I need to sort. Fingers crossed I sort it today. That'll be the final one. And then I can fully focus on business, gym, everything. Get back in a routine. Like I tell you guys, just focus on 3 to 5 things for a few years, flat out. It's harder for me now, but I think I'm in a position right now to start that today. I think I can just focus again on just a handful of things on repeat for a good few years, at least for a year, flat out. So, or at least until summer when I decide I'm too hot, I can't bother to work again, which is a flaw of mine, but you know, I'd rather be on a beach. Luckily, I live in the UK. I love New York, so I don't think I'll ever be somewhere boiling hot. The reason for today's video, guys, is we're going to be talking about how to create your own products. So this is more the agenda that I want to go down now. I want to focus on mindset, business, products. So I've actually written 2 videos down here, which is starting your own business, basics, lesson 1, which I'll get to in another video. And this one is how to create your own products, lesson 1. And I don't know if this will go on too long, the products one. Business can go longer, but products is very much just making it. How the hell do you make it? And stage 2, how do you stop getting fucked over by people when you've made it? So, you know, and if you're lucky enough to get to that level of scale, you probably don't need me, you know. So it's just more about how do you do this. So let's start off. So the first thing that you need to do if you're creating your own products is, and let's set the scene, you're probably as broke as I was. You know, even if you've got like anything less than like 30K is pretty much broke. And I know that sounds silly, but it pretty much is. I know it sounds quite arrogant now that I've got money, but it is pretty much broke because there's not a lot you can do with that. There's not a lot of, if you're lucky, if you get the numbers right, you might get 5,000 units of stock, which is, look, is a fuck ton of stock. But on the grand scheme of things, in terms of companies and whatnot, you're pretty broke. Like 5,000 stock for a company is a tiny company. Do you know what I mean? That's tiny, okay? So you're probably going to be in the situation I was, where you have no idea what you're doing, you've got no money. It's not the fucking Kylie Jenner situation where people are like, she's a self-made billionaire. She just said to a company, do you want a partner? And they went, yeah. Like, you don't have that luxury, okay? So in the early days, forget completely. This isn't a point yet, I'm just setting the scene. But forget completely about, I'm going to be a millionaire if by next week. If I've got 5,000 units and I sell them all for this much and this much profit, then I've got 100K. Like, just don't even think of that in the early days, because most of that money, if not all, is going to have to go back in anyway. You are not going to be in, you know, Tesco supermarket or Walmart next week. Like, it's a long game. It's going to take a long time. So it's probably going to be you against the world for a little while. So have that mindset. And that's not a negative. So number 1 is come up with an idea and sit with it for a few months, maybe even a year. And I've done this myself. So with every product that I have ever made or everything that I have ever done, including the stream platform, I have sat for minimum probably 4 or 5 months before I gave it the green light. And the reason is, everything sounds great to you when you first think of it. They call it the IKEA effect. If it's your idea, it's a fucking great idea. And you see this in companies. A lot of managers, bosses, CEOs, MDs, whatnot. They'll only use their own ideas. They'll hear somebody else say something and they'll go, I'm not sure. And then they'll just say their own version of it. And because it came out of their mouth, it's great. This is a massive fault, okay? Because you might sit there and go, I've got the new best idea ever. It's going to be the biggest brand, biggest social media ever. I've got this idea. You think it's the best thing since sliced bread. Everybody else hears it, goes, that ain't going to work. And somebody else who's, you know, a high-level individual in business hears it and goes, that's definitely not going to work because have you thought of this? And then they'll go, shit, no. It's like my streaming platform's a perfect example. I sat and spoke about doing that thing for years. And people gave me shit and said, it's not going to work. It's a money pit. That doesn't scare me off. If it was, it's not going to work because the technology's not there yet, then I'd go, fuck, yeah, maybe it's not going to work. Money pit, that means nothing to me. You can take loans, you can get investors. I've done the figures and I could figure it out for myself that I could fund it. So that wasn't a problem. But you have to sit on your ideas because chances are, look, this is negative, but probably 99.9% of businesses don't succeed. Most products do just fail, flop. You might have limited success in the early days and then it fades away. Somebody replicates what you've done. Like it's, you need to add up everything. You need to think about everything. You know, the service that I'm offering, could somebody else just replicate it in 2 minutes and take me out of business? Yes. Then I need to pick a different business. You know, if I'm doing, I always use this example, so sorry to your cupcake connoisseurs, but I always say if you're trying to, if your business model is cupcakes, do you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know where that's going to go unless you go down the Kipling route and you package it up and you put it on shelves. Like, you've got to have, you know, something in place. So come up with an idea and then sit on it. Just sit with it for a long time and just keep thinking, okay, is it actually a good idea? Because I came up with this idea in summer. I was carrying my phone, my keys, my wallet, everything I needed in my pocket, like pockets of my trousers. I was hot. And this was last summer. And I was like, it's getting on my nerves. I'm going to need a little bag. Like I was carrying a big bag, like a kind of like a hold or like a duffel bag. But I was like, it's hot. I need something small, something handheld, like a little, like a men's bag, almost looks like a pencil case. And I designed this whole thing, was about to put the samples out. It would have cost me around about £2,000 to do. And I sat there and I thought about it and I was like, it's a terrible idea. Now, I'm sure I would have sold a few. I'm sure some people would have thought it was a great idea. But it's just like, do you know what I mean? It's just a slight risk. It's not necessarily bad. It's just not perfect. And I got this from Warren Buffett and his mentor before him, which I believe was Charlie Munger. And that might have been his friend, I can't remember now. But they would say that when it came to investing in stocks, they would come up with like their 30 best. And then out of those 30, they would pick three. Now, all 30 could have succeeded. But if they've picked their best three, the most solid three, you're probably really going to succeed. And then instead of having money diversified across 30, you've got all your money in the three, which means when they do work and they work better than the others because they're the best, you're going to make more money. That's why they all become billionaires, right? So I adopted very much the same strategy with business. I looked at it and I thought, what? You know, I've got 400 fucking ideas. Which are the most concrete? Which are the most guaranteed to work here? Which do I need to bin off? Which is never going to work in a gazillion years? And that's, you know, my strategy. That's what I did. So that's my first lesson to you guys. Come up with your idea and then control your emotions. Oh my God, I'm going to be a millionaire if I just do this. I've got this new idea. Just keep it to yourself. Just sit on it. Just think about it. Make notes on it. Do some research. Just cover every base before you give it the green light, okay? Now, number two, and this is a pet hate of mine. I used to see this in The Apprentice, that the idea and function is more important than the packaging or the logo or what's the ethos of the brands. You know, all of that is important, just not right away. Not right away, okay? I'll give you an example. Great example here. Okay, if you're a woman, you were looking for a man, male partner, and you went, "Oh, he's gorgeous. He's 6'4". He's got abs. He's got muscles. He's really strong. He earns a lot of money, but his dick doesn't work." Do you see what I mean? The product doesn't really work. Like, the main function of the product here doesn't really work. And I know that sounds sad, but it's like, fuck. It's like another example of a guy who's a boxer. Oh, he looks amazing on pads. This guy's quick. He's strong. He's athletic. His angles are brilliant. But he's a pacifist, which means he doesn't like to fight. The function doesn't work. Do you see what I mean? Like, the main, most important cog doesn't work. It's like the power button not working on the world's most powerful supercomputer. It's like you don't have a supercomputer. And this is what people forget, is they go, "I've got a logo, I've got a catchy name, we're a hairdresser called Curl Up and Die, or a coffee shop in the Matrix, the new Matrix, it was called Simulate. Brilliant, great name. You know, doesn't really matter if the coffee's shit and the interior looks terrible. Not saying it was, but you get my point, okay, guys? Everything else needs to matter first. So instead of sitting there for hours and days and months and going, what should my logo be? I need to come up with a name for my brand. That doesn't matter. My first name was menselfimprovement.com. Then it got shortened to MSI College, which was Men's Self Improvement College. Basically became MSI. Once we were established making money, I was like, we need a proper name. This is shit. It became First Man. It's now 1M. That's like five name changes. And like 10 different logos. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It will change along the way. Apple did it. Everybody does it. It doesn't matter. So forget the packaging. Forget the branding. Forget everything. Look at my body wash. The packaging is terrible. We've still sold out of all the units nearly. You know, we've got like 100 left. It's, you know, not on the next batch because it's made money. I can use that to do the packaging. Do you see what I mean? So it will look like a stronger product and it will probably sell better. But in the early days, I wanted to save money to make sure that the function, which was that it's testosterone friendly, was in place. And that's all that matters in the early days. So forget about the packaging, logo, ethos. What's our company culture? You're probably just one person at the start. Just function. What does it fucking do and does it do it? When I was building my streaming platform, I said to them, and although we've actually had an issue with this, but I said to them, forget all the fluff, forget everything else. I don't care what it looks like. Just make sure people can sign up and make sure that videos play. Now, the videos play perfectly. It played like 4K HD, rapid. You click on it, it plays immediately, looks fantastic. No issues there. They nailed it. The payments, we got a couple issues, but you could see my logic, my mindset. All I wanted to do was those two things. Make sure that people can sign up. Make sure they can watch. Let's move on from that. You know, do exactly what you're supposed to do on the tin. Then tick the other boxes after. But people get confused. Like, oh, I think pink. I think red. It doesn't matter. My early websites were terrible. They still made sales, okay? It matters long term, but not right away. Now, the next one is get your figures right before you spend a penny. Okay, so if you're making your own product and you go, I just want to get this to market, let's just go and order a bat. Are you crazy? You've got to crunch those numbers. You've got to hand them over to someone else that you trust with numbers. You've got to make sure, and that's why you sit on it for months, because, and I'll get to this later, but with my first batch of supplements, my men's lifestyle one, I didn't make a profit. I actually lost money, I think, because there were so many added costs that I didn't account for. And you know, even down to like, oh yeah, Stripe take a percentage, don't they? Fuck, I forgot about that. So then once I started crunching those numbers, I had to put the price up of the product or order more to get a better unit cost. But this is what people forget. You know, oh, Stripe and PayPal do take a fee. Shit, I forgot about that. Well, how does that affect our profits? Okay, well now we're down about £1 on each product. Wow, that's like really made a dent in our profits there. So, you know, why didn't we account for that in the early days? Like, this is such a novice mistake. If you only make it once, it's not too bad, but I want to help you not ever make it, because that could be £400-£500, $1,000 that you need for the next batch. Do you see what I mean? So sit down, crunch your numbers, price research, because you could be too high, too low, whatever, that they're probably two of the most important components. Is our price right? I've done it with the streaming platform. $7.99. Okay, in hindsight, there's not enough content to justify that this quickly. Let's drop it to $1.99. We did a survey. All in around about 80% of people said $1.99. They're happy to pay for a year without unsubscribing. The people who didn't, apart from one person said it was too high. But everybody else said it just makes more sense to pay $19.99 for the year. Or they're waiting for more content to sign up. So that tells you the pricing is bang on. Do you see what I mean? That makes a difference. That's all in place. And in terms of figures, I've added it up with server costs, the cost of products, like in terms of content and what we're making. It checks out. And at the end of the day, it's a streaming platform. It's a subscription-based growth model, which means it's retention. So if you retain people, it grows from there. So even if we break even, that's a win. If you break even on a streaming platform in a year, you know the next year could be massively profitable. You could take a bit for yourself there, and then the next year you put everything back in. Take a bit the next year, everything back in. So just get your figures right. Crunch them 100 times, 200 times, 300 times. Sit on it for months. Do it again in 2-3 months. Think of every component, every aspect. And here's something that I do, which is a massive tip in products, business, whatever. Do worst case scenario. Don't be light on yourself. Don't be like, oh yeah, but you know, people might pay this, might pay. Do the lowest possible amount of money that you could get and do the highest possible amount that you'll probably get charged. So always do worst case scenarios so that the figures are as bad as they possibly could be, because then if you're still profitable and things are still good, it can only be better than that. And if it is worst case scenario, you're good. But people shy away from that. I always add up worst case scenario to see, you know, okay, we're still good if all things go badly. If it's the most expensive it can be, we're still good, we're still making a profit. Then it can only be good news. Do you see what I mean? The next one is research suppliers until your eyes bleed. Don't actually do this. I don't want to get sued. But the reason I wrote that is because my eyes would go bloodshot just searching suppliers and messaging people and calling people and just asking them, how much would you do this for? And then they'll reply back with, what ingredients do you want? What do you want on this? What do you need on that? With the streaming platform, we could build it for this amount. We could build it for this amount. Like, I drain myself for 2-3 months just asking suppliers and different companies, what can you do? What price can you do? How much for this? And I'll leave out the most important component, which comes next, but I'll tell you that in a second. But you know, you have to filter through all the suppliers. You have to go through every single one that you can find and see what options that they can bring and find which one is best for you. I'm going to move straight on to the next point because it's going to tie in otherwise. The most important factor is minimum order quantity. And I found an American company which could do 144 units. A minimum order quantity is your best friend in the early days, because like me, you probably wouldn't have a huge amount of money to play with, and you don't want to take a huge risk. And this is what I've written down. It's financially smart, it's safer, it's a lower risk, and you're still learning at this point. So forget getting rich here. People think, oh, I'm gonna order these t-shirts, and we're gonna sell 2,000 of them. That's gonna give me 35 grand profit, 35 grand a year. I could afford that new play. Stop. That is okay. We've made 35 grand. Where can that then go? Can I put that back in? Where does that go now? How much can we spare? You know, that's the mindset you need. So you're still learning, and it's only a small amount of orders. So you just go, okay, we sell them. It proves that it works. Next step, next step, next step. It might be, it's taken me, since releasing my first product, 3 years to actually think to myself, okay, I'm pretty rich now. But even all of that money went into the streaming platform. But it took 3 years, you know, of constant selling of them to actually be like, I can take a bit for myself. But yeah, with the, and this all ties together, with the American company that I used, and this is my next point, is beware of import tax. Because, yeah, I got 144 units and I got what I thought was a good price. But the import tax was so high, because it was America, that I actually lost money. And also there was one ingredient that wasn't legal in the UK. So on the second batch, we weren't allowed to do it. And I was like, ah, right, okay. It was like a rule that came in at that time, and I was like, right, but it's fine in the US. Fuck, that's a problem. So I had to find a new supplier. So second time round, it was different, because first time round, I was looking for whoever was the cheapest, minimum order quantity. Second time, I was looking for who could be the cheapest in general, you know, because I had a bit of money to play with the second time around. And I thought to myself, it wasn't from the supplements. I didn't have it from that. I had it from a couple of courses and from leftover money from crypto. So I was like, okay, this time around, I can do a bigger order. And I think I did 500. Now, if I'm doing 500 with a UK-based company and there's no import tax, I was able to get I had to put a lot more in, but there was a much better price, number one. Number two, there was no import tax, so I was going to save money there. So I was able to put more money back into the product itself, which is something that people don't do. And that is a lesson I was going to use for next time, but I've written down, and for the next lesson, we'll go into detail on that, is don't get greedy. Don't go and make these in India using child labor and cheap materials, because that's a real point, because then it diminishes the product itself. I had this option. I improved the product after making, you know, after selling them out instantly, I improved the product, made it better every single time. And apart from this most recent batch, I did that every single time, but I think it's perfected now. So that's something that people aren't really aware of. Okay, so once I didn't have that import tax, once I was able to order a larger number, yeah, I did make a good amount of money. I made a good amount of money. I made, I think, 13 grand, I think £13,000 in a month. And I was like, okay, we're underway. We've got something here. Like, this is good. This is a real business model. So yeah, that was fun. Now, your final point when you're first making your own product is who's shipping it. How are you getting it to the customers? That caused me probably the biggest headache. You know, are you doing it nationally? Are you going to do it internationally? If so, what regions of the world? If so, are there weird rules? There's weird rules for Germany with packaging and Austria now. Who's got the strictest customs? The UK just came out of the EU during Brexit, and I had to fill out new EU customs forms, tariff numbers. I had to learn how to do them. I made plenty of mistakes. They sent them back. That costs me on shipping. I'm losing money. You have to just become a student of your industry. Luckily, down at the local post office where I was driving down and then dropping the bags off, the guy helped me relentlessly, showed me everything. I probably bored him. Okay, at some point, I'm going to go and drop him a massive gift in the future. He knows that, I've told him. But he had to educate me on all of that. Because I've got a fulfillment company now. They package everything, they send it off, I don't touch it. I have somebody that answers all the emails and deals with all of that. I don't even see what goes on. That's a privilege. But there was a time where I would package 1,000 supplements a week. And I would write each custom form. I would stay awake till 4 in the morning. I'd wake back up again at 8 or 9. And I would do it all again 7 days a week. And I wouldn't have a life. I would finally package everything up and another 1,000 orders would come in. I'd do the same again the next week until we ran out of stock. And then, you know, I'd sit there with the money and think, well done, look what you've done. Get your health back. And people would be saying, when is it back in stock? And you're like, well, we have to stock again. We have to. So, you know, you have to realize like what I did there, and you're going to have to do the same. But number two, I want you to start thinking about being big before you are. So I was already thinking, as soon as it got hard, I was like, there's got to be another way to do this. Do I hire somebody? Do I have a fulfillment company? I want you to start thinking about that in the early days and put processes in place. I told you guys this a few years ago, that, or at least a year ago, that this was going to be my year of processing. I was going to put certain procedures in place that freed me up to do other things. You know, there's something that people do in large businesses, and I'm a Manchester City supporter, and Manchester City's team do this because obviously they're Abu Dhabi owned, their owners are rich as shit, they just know what to do. They have contingency plans for everything. Governments do it as well, but I've seen my team do this. They're planning 8 years ahead on everything that they do. They're like, if this happens, we'll do this. If this happens, we'll do this. Put a plan in place. If this player leaves, we'll get this player. If this manager leaves, he's already the best one lined up. We've already planned this out. We know what happens in each scenario. And it's, you know, is the best way to run a business, to have in the early days, to be like, if this happens, like, that's why it's a big reason why I created the streaming platform. Because I was thinking for years, what happens if we all get banned? What happens if the payment gateways don't allow me to sell my products, which PayPal did, Amazon did? You know, they stopped me being allowed to sell my products. So you've got to have to contingency plans in place. And that for me was the streaming platform. And now it's built, we have so much power. Do you see what I mean? Like, you've always got to be one or two steps ahead. So that's getting a bit far now. But that is how to create your own products in the early days. The only extra tip I would add on top of that is always try and look for smart money savings. Okay, so I would never diminish. I've got the best ingredients in my supplements that you could possibly have. I don't cut corners. The camera went off, so I hope this is seamless. But I don't cut corners on the actual product itself and the ingredients, because that's the main function of the product. But I did cut corners with the body wash packaging, the labeling. It's not essential. I did cut corners with my paperback book. They said, do you want these pages laminated? Do you want the highest printing quality? Do you want... I was like, no, the cheapest, the worst. I don't care. As long as it looks good and it's readable, it doesn't need to be the highest quality paper. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's a book. The contents is more important. If the contents was shit and the book was terrible, but it looked good, I'm sure you guys wouldn't care. But the actual book itself is brilliant, even though I say so myself. And then I cut corners with the actual, like, do you want to laminate the pages? Do you want the font to be a spec? I was like, no. Do you want color? I think there's one image, and I don't think I put it in color for a lot of the prints. If I had put that one page in color, I would have lost money on each book. Do you see what I mean? You've got to be a tight motherfucker in those areas. But when it comes to the actual function of the product itself, you have to be spot on. You have to spend money there. You have to reinvest in those parts. But you can cut corners on the non-essentials. Okay? It's like having the fastest car in the world with fantastic seatbelts and great handling. And everyone's like, this is brilliant. And then the taillights are a little bit cheap and ugly. You know, and inside the interior is a little bit plasticky. You've kind of done your purpose, though, because you can say it's the fastest car in the world and handles the best. Do you know what I mean? It's you can improve that sort of stuff later on, but for the early essentials, that is what I do. So that is how I would create products, guys, if I were to start again, knowing what I know. That is everything you pretty much need to know. I hope that helps. I'll do more of these moving forward in the future. I'll speak to you all soon.